Edition 383. This is the Regrets Edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. Hopefully everybody out there is having a fantastic weekend or week to this, whatever the time in which you choose to consume your particular caffeination, however you've downloaded it, whenever you'd like to have it. I hope that you're having a good time with it as it is. It's kind of really, really late that we're recording here tonight, and there's a very good reason for it, and I'm going to kind of give you the ultra-quick rundown on why that is. Working on the house for a couple months now. Today was one of those get-her-done kind of days. We woke up relatively early, nice and normal on time, and since 8 o'clock until about 10:30 at night, I was working on the house. It was like straight through, didn't even go to dinner, didn't do anything. It was just like, you know, bang, 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 trying to get everything done. It was spent entirely painting, scraping, and cutting, and it was just insane. So, didn't get a chance to actually do any of the normal research that I would do for a show like this. So it's been more than a little crazy trying to get everything done here this late tonight. So I'm actually recording the show later than I ever have. So we're going to try and push on through, get it nice and quick and easy and out the door before it gets incredibly insanely late. I've never started recording after 1:30 in the night, and it's now closer to 2, so we're going to hopefully get this out. But the best part about podcasts is it doesn't matter when I record it. As soon as I post it up there, you can download it from then on. So for all I know, you could be downloading this at, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, you could be downloading this very respectable 9 o'clock in the at night or whatever. So yeah, this is, of course, the Caffeination Podcast. Not everything starts out like this, I swear. We are the high-octane world of coffee and technology. It's kind of an interesting little mix. They're my two passions, and I could not separate them, so you end up with one podcast full of awesomeness. This and all the other episodes are lovingly nestled over at www.caffination.com. Now, if you've listened to the podcast before, you might notice that even though it's incredibly late, I'm incredibly awake. I might not talk entirely correctly, but it's probably because I've had roughly 3 pots of coffee today, and kind of like accidentally. This is very, very rare that this happens on the weekend, so kind of savor the flavor, as the case may be. So it's going to be interesting, to say the least. We would like to talk to you just a little bit about the sponsor for today's show. If you've heard me talking about GoToMeeting for quite some time now, but do you know why that I think that it's one of the best online meeting solutions out there? It's quite easy. There's a couple little points that we're going to run down. The first is that you can join a meeting in seconds. There's no complicated setups, and even the people that you're trying to join your meetings don't need accounts on the software. You set everything up, they can join in. There's nothing extra in the way of that you know, feedback like that. You can share keyboard and mouse controls or switch presenters seamlessly. It doesn't matter where anybody is. It's a hop, skip, and a jump right away from one to another. You can share certain programs or just your whole screen, and you can even record your meetings. It has integrated audio solutions. Phone conferencing numbers are included in email invitations and are on the control panel. And voiceover IP begins instantly when you start your session. Our listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings absolutely free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts for a free trial. The Caffeination Podcast is also a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If you hadn't figured that out by now, if you head on over to www.techpodcasts.com, you can see all the crazy and cool shows that happen to associate with the same awesome group of people. Really kind of highly suggest you just browse through the different stuff that's over there. There's great stuff to be had all over the place there. The other really, really cool thing that's happening right now is we are once again part of Podcast Madness. Podcast Madness is a great contest that's actually hosted by Jeffrey Powers over at the Geekazine Podcast, but if you go over to podcastmadness.com, you too can enter in to win this month's drawing of an Epson Artisan 810. This is a fantastic printer. It's really, really cool. This is like high-end to beat high-end. It's kind of insane that they're actually giving this away for free. All you need to do is head on over to every single one of the podcasts that's listed there, and everybody has their own individual code word. You enter in your name, your email address, and the code word. The code word for the Caffeination Podcast is INK, I-N-K. It's a printer. It's INK. It's easy. Go over there. Enter. All right. We have a lot of cool stuff to talk to you about. The first thing that we're going to go on into in the GeekCruft section is the good, the bad, and the Google. Now, I've been playing around with Google Wave for quite a little bit now. It's kind of interesting to see some of the cool things that you can do with it. You know, you can have all kinds of fun little doodads attached to stuff. You can put maps. You can put the yes, no, maybe widget. You can have meetings planned on the fly. It's really nice. But there's a couple good things, there's a couple bad things, and there's some things that are just kind of plain irritating. Now, Google Wave is supposed to be the next step in email evolution, so it's kind of understandable that you wouldn't get an email every time you get a wave. So, okay, I can understand that. But here's the good. This tool streamlines communication. Unfortunately, in streamlining communication, they haven't quite worked out a chat feature yet, so that if you and your friends are all logged in the same time, if you had it staggered like a real chat, as opposed to just two people typing in text files that you could see at the same time, it might be a little bit more useful. You can actually streamline and cohesively edit a document with multiple people, and it's really, really nice for that. And it's also kind of good for adding like the Swedish Chef in to turn all of your words into Swedish Chef style words, but that's about the really, really funny stuff that's in there. The bad, the email is, imagine having an email program where you can only send email to half of your friends. Well, that's what it is right now, since they have a limited number of invites to the preview, which is really actually a beta, but we'll get on to that in a minute. You can't actually work with the people that you might be working with. So, for instance, for the longest time, Jeffrey Powers from over at Geekazine and myself were saying, you know, we really wanted to talk to Norbert Davis from the Totally Cool Tech podcast about something, but since he wasn't on Wave, we couldn't get to him and we couldn't, you know, include him in the conversation we were having, so we had to go back to the email. Well, now that he's on Wave, the conversation's continuing and we're trying to work it out that way, but it's kind of weird because that was a major limitation that's not going to be there in the future because they're expecting everybody to have Wave. But it's kind of funny to see exactly, you know, how that really stops the hardcore testing for this. And like, if everybody got a couple invitations and it was a little bit different on how they operated, then it might have been a little bit easier to work with. Unfortunately, there's a huge sluggish response on a lot of different browsers. I've had trouble on Google's own Chrome browser, and every once in a while, if you hit the wrong key, you can shut down the wave that you're working on. So it's kind of funny that way. There's a massive list of features. Unfortunately, when you have something like that, like Microsoft Word or something like that, where there's a huge number of features, you only end up using a couple that are very easily accessible within a couple clicks. So you really have to kind of work it out to make sure that you're actually using the features, and the features that they have are readily accessible. So that's my take on the good and the bad. Unfortunately, the ugly. The people who got the first round of invites did almost absolutely nothing with them. So the early adopters, there's very little in the way of, like, you know, I got, I think, the third round of invites, but if... So the people who got the really, really early ones, you would hope that they would have been the coders and the geeks who really got stuff in there, but a lot of them happen to be just geeks with media connections, so who knows. The second thing that's the ugly side of this is that people tend to rush to judgment on these things. They really kind of say, oh my god, this is awesome, or this sucks, and it's not one or the other. This which brings us to the last thing. This is an actual beta, which means that there are huge major problems with the system. But that's fine, because they're trying to tune them and, you know, hammer the bugs out. But they had to call it a preview because they call everything else a beta in the Googleplex. So, you know, maybe if they had actually gotten a couple things done, instead of slapping the beta tag, they could have slapped the preview tag on the stuff that was actually pretty much done, like Gmail for years. The beta tag might actually mean something. So, all right, next item that we have for you here is a tea light lava lamp. Now, I love lava lamps. I have two of them in the caffeination layer, but I've never seen one that runs on a tea light. So this is kind of funny that you would see it. It's a much smaller scale. Now, the lava light itself is over 40 years old at this point, and this is not the iconic red lava with the gold accent. I think my uncle actually had one of them, like the one of the original lava lamps in his family room for the longest time. I haven't seen it in a little while, but we have a couple off-color ones, but that that's kind of, you know, neither here nor there. But I like the idea of kind of switching it out and saying, I think they had to actually use different kinds of viscous liquid in these to actually work on a lower boiling point. So I'd be curious to see how these things actually stack up to the other ones. I mean, these things are relatively light, and they're only 9.5 inches tall overall. They say they have a 3-hour runtime on the burning of just one tea light, so that's kind of fun. All right, next little thing we have up for you here, which I... Somebody actually told me that I say that about 20 times during a podcast, and I realize that I do. It's just, it's hard to not fall into that pattern there. All right, so the next little thing that I have for you right here is an Etch-A-Sketch Freestyle. It's a new system that comes out that makes Etch-A-Sketching a little bit easier to do, except here's the thing. Etch-A-Sketch is kind of hard to do, and that's fine, but and it should be. There's no, you don't need to necessarily improve on an Etch-A-Sketch. There's people out there who can do absolutely beautiful drawings and diagrams and everything else on Etch-A-Sketches with just the X and Y axis. Yes, it's hard to draw a circle, but you know what? It doesn't have to be easy to. If you have the skills and you can tune it in such a way, then you're fine. Then I don't understand where there was the need to improve on it. But hey, maybe sales are lagging or something like that. So who knows? But if you're interested in what the Etch-A-Sketch Freestyle actually looks like, you can head on over there. It's I would say it's kind of ugly compared to the other one. The other one's a design in simplicity. It's a screen with an X and Y controller. This is a screen with kind of an off-center kind of nubbin that's in the middle that allows you to kind of draw along that way. So it seems a little bit less beautiful. I guess is the only way you could say it. Next little thing that I have for you right here is from over at ogizmo.com, Box Buddy Box Handle Cutter. It's a little bit of an unwieldy name for the thing, but this is a very, very simple and very useful tool. Have you ever tried to carry a box and you realize, you know what, I really wish there had been handles on this? Well, this is a tiny little hole punch that allows you to actually cut handles into any box that you see. It's beautiful. I never thought of this, and it's a really, really good idea before. So no word yet on the actual price, but this is a tiny self-contained, so that even though there's sharp objects, sharp edges rather, it actually kind of collapses in on itself, and there's another side to it that kind of closes it over, and it's a nice little small portable easy little box cutter. Now, that I think that's the only thing that's missing from it is you could probably add a little box cutter to the other end that you take out to reveal the blades to cut the handle, and it would be a perfect tool to carry with you. So the only thing that I could really see actually going wrong with it is if you end up punching something that is not punchable, if you know what I mean. All right, next story we have for you right here is a little web book aims to be a big deal for the household. This is a different take on the style of netbooks that are out there. So this is a netbook that can completely open up and fold and stand like a little picture frame, and it's supposed to be a completely different operating system and everything, but that's not really what I wanted to talk to you about here today. What I came to talk to you about is the draft. Well, no, not really, but what I came to talk to you about is it's so strange to see some of the different netbooks that are out there, how there's really kind of innovation happening there that hasn't happened in laptop space for a while. So I really love seeing new and interesting products like this. The only thing that I would worry about is that we're getting really fractured in the OS area. So you can actually have Android running a netbook, you can have Linux running a netbook, you can have Mac, and you can't have Macs because they haven't made hardware for or software for that yet, or whatever it is. You can't do it legally, let's just put it that way. So there's all these different flavors of operating systems that are running on them, and I don't think anything has really embraced it well. I know that Ubuntu has really kind of tried to embrace it, but it tastes and feels like the Ubuntu of a desktop. It just has a couple little things that are optimized for the use of the netbook. So I'm not sure if there's going to be a different operating system that's eventually going to take hold on a netbook, or if we're just going to see a pared down version of other ones. I would really like to see you know, the more innovation in the hardware sector and kind of a smoothing out of the features among the operating systems. But that's just me personally. Now, I know it's too early to do the holiday shows or anything like that, even though I do have a fun show lined up for the 20th of December on the TPN Weekly. By the way, if you head on over to blog.techpodcast.com this week, you'll end up hearing more about Norbert Davis and his Totally Cool Tech podcast, as he is hosting this week's rendition. But this is a interesting little derivation on decorating a toilet. Now, we're all about potties here in the Caffeination Lair right now because we're trying to potty train the kid. So that's going kind of, I'd say, fair to middling at this point. But I don't think I would really want to anthropomorphize the toilet because I don't want to cause any more issues than we already have. But this is a neat idea, and I think this might be a craft for later on down the road. Basically, color the toilet seat brown with a tiny little fuzzball on it. You put eyes on the tank, and you color the top of the tank with brown felt. And then you put antlers on it, so it looks like a giant reindeer potty. The only thing is, can you imagine having a child who's still in that age who has to go do his business on top of the Rudolph? Next story that we have for you from over at nerdapproved.com is another little potty thing, but this is flushing away your savings. This is not a bank in Flushing. This is a crazy little concept bank that's just, I think it's entirely about the fact that you drop your money into the hopper and you push the button to flush it away. I don't think it has a large capacity, but I think it'd be even cooler if you could put it on top of a normal piggy bank or something else to actually have it be, this is the way that you actually filter the money in. Now, if it, not only if it flushed, but if it actually kept like a running tally of how much money you'd put in there, that would be cool, but otherwise the capacity of this thing doesn't really lend itself to being as awesome as it could be. All right, next story we have is from over at technobob.com. I'm never really sure how to say it, and I don't know why it's technobob, but or techobob or whatever it should be, but it's technobob, I think. yeah, it's late. Sorry, people. All right, this story is a little bit about something like a Segway, except it's really, I can't get past the advertising image that they use. It's supposed to be a young, hip 20s guy, but he's old enough to, you know, to be working in an office, so he has the suit, but of course the suit isn't like black or brown or anything. It's like that off tan, and he has the tie, and he's zipping around with his shades. Imagine a scooter where you're sitting on a like a Ben-Hur chariot style thing. You're standing up. There's one handle that's all the way out, so you can control this entire thing with one handle. The drive wheel is way out in front, and there's actually a motor attached to the axis of the drive wheel. For one charge, it lasts for roughly an hour of use and can go up to 12 miles an hour. That's really cool, and the platform that you're standing on has two tiny little wheels, so I'm not really sure exactly the range versus how much this can carry or how much this is actually going to cost, it's going to cost $1,250, so $1,250. So it's a quarter of the price of a Segway. It's still too much for me. The only cool concept that I actually saw here is they actually have one that's just the wheel and the woman modeling, it's actually wearing rollerblades. I think that's a little bit cooler, or I think even one step beyond that, if they somehow managed to have like a unicycle version that you that you had and you had to kind of try and balance yourself, I think that would be even cooler, trying to lean into the wind on a unicycle. All right, that's neither here nor there. Next little thing I have for you is from over at 7gadgets.com. Now, my buddy Jimmy and I were talking about lamenting the death of the Lego Video Studio, and apparently it seemed to be short-lived. Well, the lamenting that was. Because Lego has come out with a Lego stop-motion video camera. So you can actually create your own Lego home animation things that I didn't think that they were still supporting, but apparently they were just changing the concept. It's not just a normal concept video or something like that. Now, the actual camera itself has Lego appendages on it, so I think that's kind of cool. And I'm really happy they didn't kill off that thing, because I really thought the Lego Movie Studio was kind of an interesting take on how you could use Legos as a kind of like a catch-all set for any kind of thing you'd like to do. There's no word yet on the availability. However, the thing's going to be priced at $80. So it's just kind of roughly in line with the other video stuff that they had put out before. New news coming out is 1080p is coming to YouTube. So in case you were wondering about why you couldn't see really, really high quality stuff on YouTube, I think YouTube's actually going a little bit off the reservation here. Yes, they have the ability to upload higher def stuff, which is great now. But people go to YouTube for quantity. They go because that's where you go to find almost all the videos that are out there. They don't go there for quality. Quality is everything else. All of the other different little video services that are out there, Video, Vimeo, anything, or Hulu, you know, it's any of the other ones are all make their living based on really crisp, clean encoding. So YouTube has kind of, you know, lived off the pixelated existence for the longest time, so it's not really much they can do beyond that. I think that they're always kind of going to be pigeonholed as that unless they find a way to upconvert all the other videos that they've trashed throughout the years. Here's the thing. YouTube has been doing this so long that when they did it, they had to save the bandwidth. They had to really find a different way to view it because they had to find a way to make the content there work. Now that we have higher bandwidth and a lot more people are trying to upload and get video, their player's too slow, unfortunately, to do even the most basic videos that are out there. I don't know how you can upload the same video to YouTube and Vimeo, and the one when you're watching it on Vimeo just seems to flow that much smoother. It's probably has a lot to do with the economy of scale and the fact that there's way too many videos on YouTube, and most of them are people like being incredibly dumb. For lack of a better term. All right, last item that we have for you in the GeekCraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast is paintball landmines. Now, I'm unaware of a need for a landmine in any kind of sense, but apparently paintball landmines are all the rage. And if you'd like to find out how to build one, you can head on over to slipperybrick.com. And they're reusable, which is the cool part. Now, I'm... As cool as it is that there's a paintball landmine, I really kind of hate the fact that I've never actually been paintballing. And my buddy Jimmy had it for his bachelor party, and unfortunately I had to bow out of actually doing that part due to an injury. Now, if I ever get a chance to actually do it, now I'm going to have to watch out for landmines too. That's a little bit harsh. So I thought it was cool and wanted to share it with the group. Now we're going to be moving into the food and caffeinated bits section here. We're kind of rocking in nice and quick, and hopefully get this up and out before 3 o'clock in the morning hits. Alright, LED decanting stoppers. Now, you've seen the stoppers that sit at the top of different bottles out there. Now, these are not really meant to be classy, so it's kind of meant to be ironic that it says classy and geeky at the same time. But these are little LED covered skulls, and they're meant to actually top screw-on bottles, so like soda and other stuff like that. I think that's cool. They respond to music and noise, but I really don't see a big market for these, despite the fact that, you know, they fit so many different bottles. Most people use the cap that they came with, and if you're going to be replacing the cap, it just seems kind of weird to put a light-up skull on top of it. But hey, I mean, I like skulls as much as the next red-blooded American guy, but it's a little bit weird. I don't really know if there's actually a market for this. Next article that I have for you is something I wrote. It's a long and very detailed review of the Barista on Duty coffee. If you head on over to baristaonduty.com, you can see this lovely gentleman, Johnny Milton, pan roasts all of his coffees. He only offers 3 coffees at a time. Right now he's offering the Harar, the Yiga Sharaf, which I know I'm probably going to pronounce incorrectly, and Limu. Now, these are 3 very, very different types of coffees. What I did was I ran through the smell, the taste, and the mouthfeel of each one. I did my best impression of one of those professional coffee taster dudes, but I kind of came off, I don't know if I came off like I knew what I was talking about, and I try to distill what exactly it is that I like about each one and how I felt while drinking it. Now, I'm not really sure if that came off, although I've got to tell you, the Harar is unbelievable compared to the other two. The other two are very, very good, but they have different subtleties that Johnny's actually still working on, so he lovingly sent me these 3 samples for free and said, hey, I really just want your opinion. I really need you to kind of spread the word and check out what you think of these. You know, just tell me, are they good, bad, and different? And I got to tell you, the Harar is one of the best cups of coffee that I've had in I don't know how long. So I had to share with the group. You can head on over to Barista on Duty, and you can head on over to caffeination.com/review, called Body Coffee, because that's how the Barista on Duty is actually... abbreviated, but it's really, really good coffee. And what he does, he seeks to tune the roast to the palate of his customers, so you can head on over there and actually really check out what he does. It's really, really cool. And pan roasting adds a completely different aspect and really kind of what he calls micro lot roasting. So it's like you're dealing with a home roaster, because you are trying to get you the best and most flavorful cup of coffee that you possibly can. So it's really, really cool. Next little thing, where in the world is Michael Allen Smith, the fine fellow from over at Coffee Hero, IDCoffee.com. So many fun places out there. But he's currently over in Thailand, and he's actually kind of blogging from afar. There's a couple other people that I think are still working on Coffee Hero. I know Alex Schofield's one of the other authors who's trying to hold down the fort there, and he's doing a fantastic job. But Michael's actually posting from Thailand, and he had a rather sad experience for his first espresso in Thailand. And here's the line that kills it. There's only two sentences in the post, but still. My first impression is that Seattle does Thai food better than Thailand does coffee. So, unfortunately, Thailand's not getting very good reviews as of yet. So it's going to be fun to see exactly where that goes. Now, there's another article over at IneedCoffee.com, but the longest coffee roast ever. Somebody wrote into Michael and actually said it took him 60 minutes on a specific type of coffee roaster to actually get the beans to crack and pop. Now, this is way beyond anything I've ever done. I think the longest one I ever did was like 15 minutes, and that was on a really cool, very windy day. And it kind of dovetails very nicely into one of the videos that I'm going to be posting this week on cold weather coffee roasting, and how by changing the size of the roasting chamber on the West Bend property, you can actually speed up and slow down the roasts. So hopefully that one's going to come out. I have to edit it and clip it together a little bit still. But basically, the person had kind of an open air roasting on a spinning coffee roaster, and unfortunately, by having that much air, it actually really, really slowed down the roast. So by leaving the lid on and kind of not messing around with it as much, the second time he roasted really dropped the temperature, really dropped the time from 60 minutes down to like 15. So it's all about the chamber, the roasting chamber. It's all about that air. Next little item that we have for you from over at YankoDesign.com. This is really cool. The idea behind this set of cookware is that there's different spots that come out depending on how hot or cold the cookware is. So as you're cooking, you see different designs appear in the actual outer skin of the cookware itself. Now, I'm a cooking geek. I love to cook. I love doing all kinds of things in the kitchen. So this is really cool. It's also a way of telling exactly how hot the pot that you're working on is. And I think this is even really a good idea for people with kids, because you can say, hey, if you see the red or yellow dots on there, you don't touch it, because that pot's hot. As it is right now, any pot that's sitting on the stove, whether it's been there for 3 days or 4 minutes, we have to tell our kid, you know, if there's something on the stove, you don't touch it. The stove is hot. Even when the stove's cold, you know, there's little middling things in there that you kind of have to work on, but this is very easy. You can just say, hey, you see those dots? If it's red, it's very hot. If it's yellow, it's hot enough to burn you still. But you know, you can kind of break down into a little discussion there. So I think that's really cool. And hopefully that finds some place beyond the world of the design. And the last little item that we have for you here, again from Yanko Design, is a half coffee cup that's on a wall. Now, I've seen these before as key holders, but I've never seen them before as stuff and key holders. And everybody has to have a place for your stuff, as the bilabial fricative master George Carlin said himself. So it's an interesting way where you can actually store pens and pencils and everything in it. Off the handle of the half of a teacup that's on there, you can hang keys or whatever else you'd like. So it's a screw-on ceramic plate, and fortunately, you can actually get one of these for $30 on the Yanko Design store. So that's one thing I'd really love for them to start doing, is some of the more off-the-wall, crazy things that they have out there, actually selling them. And I think they're starting to do that at the YD store, so it's really fun. I'm going to be checking that out and writing something fun about that. All right, that about wraps it up here for today's edition of the Caffeination Podcast. Thank you ever so much for hanging around and sticking with us through this incredibly late. Now, I need to edit and get this episode up in like less than like 5 minutes to get it in before 3. I really don't think that's happening. But thank you so much for sticking around. This episode and all the other fun ones like it are found over at www.caff.com. CAFFINATION.com. That's caffeination.com for those of you who can't spell or just don't feel like, you know, writing it all out. And caffeination@gmail.com for all your comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you feel like sending my general direction. And the phone number to get in contact with us is 215-240-1319. Thank you so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.